Yeah, I think the one word you can really use to describe the way people have been reacting to what they've been seeing unfolding in Washington is incredulity. People just don't understand why things have unfolded in this way. People really do not understand, because the political system here is very different, obviously, why on earth there should be this seemingly ongoing, every few months, row and standoff about the debt ceiling, about the budget. And they certainly don't understand why this time around it seemed to be linked in some way to Obamacare, to President Obama's healthcare reforms. People are really scratching their heads to try and work out what's been going on and why it's been unfolding in this way. As I say, the system here, very different. We don't have these ongoing debates and discussions and therefore negotiations about the budget. And so people here who are interested in US politics and who feel very fondly about the Americans have really been just looking on aghast, wondering why it comes to this and seems to come to this over and over again. And you talk about kicking the can down the road. One person I spoke to earlier here put it this way. He described it as hitting the snooze button over and over again.
Indeed. And Anya Ardayeva in Moscow, all of this comes at a time when Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, has been trying to project himself as a global leader running a global power. Does this crisis in Washington play into his hands?
Well, it certainly does. The Russian reaction, the reaction from the Russian authorities, has been very limited, for the reason largely is that nobody here either understands what's happening in the US, but also because Vladimir Putin said on October 8th that Russia is very interested to see the US economy recovering, because he says it's the biggest economy in the world and the state that it's in affects the entire world. And the country's state-run media echoed that statement, but in a slightly more critical way, saying that the shutdown damaged the image of the United States, the image that it carries of a global leader, and that this would inevitably result in investors losing their confidence and their trust in the U.S. A Russian state channel, Vesti, for instance, said, quote, "How is this possible that a superpower which dictates its conditions to the entire world managed to get to the edge by failing its internal policy and bringing its economy into a dead end?" But then again, this isn't something unusual, because anti-American rhetoric on state-run television has been dominating the air here for a number of years, as relations between the two countries have been steadily declining. And of course, a number of pro-Kremlin voices here are questioning what is the point to have an independent parliament and independent Senate when it results in something like that, and bringing a point that it's much better to have a system that exists in Russia at the moment, when the parliament and both houses of parliament are controlled and very loyal to people in the Kremlin.
And Gary Alfonso, you, of course, are in South Africa, an established democracy, but you are at the foot of a continent where there are emerging democracies and emerging economies. Does this experience of the last two or three weeks damage the credibility of the United States in the region?
I wouldn't say it damages the credibility of the United States in the region. I'd say it's much more a nervousness that's in these emerging markets, because, you know, even though South Africa is one of 55 countries on the continent, the reality is that it is the biggest economy on the continent. And if the U.S. catches a cold, South Africa's, or if the U.S. sneezes, South Africa's economy catches a serious cold, and the rest of the continent catches pneumonia. So I think it's a very important indicator of the fact that the South African currency has funnily enough strengthened over the past three or four weeks while this was going on, for the simple matter that South Africa relies heavily on the U.S. buying South African infrastructure bonds. And of course, that's a big policy of the National Federal Reserve in the U.S. Is that buying foreign bonds, of which South Africa is a major benefactor, supports the South African economy, and obviously also gets foreign currency into the South African economy. The downside to that is that with quantitative easing possibly changing in future because of a new federal Fed, a central Fed chairperson coming in at the end of the year, and Bernanke moving on, there's no telling whether that long-term kicking of the can down the road is going to be a double whammy for the South African economy, because they really depend on those infrastructure bonds, the 10 to 15 year contracts, and obviously gold is no longer the lifesaver in South Africa or anywhere else on the continent. So the only economies that really are going to be benefiting are those that are or will remain immune to U.S. buying of foreign bonds and contracts, like, for instance, Nigeria, which has huge oil reserves. So, yes, nervousness across the continent, but not so much in as much as the U.S. government not being able to function, but rather the releasing of dollars to the emerging markets.
And Ollie, you mentioned that there in London, someone had sort of equated this to a snooze button, this compromise, if indeed that is the way that it turns out. And the wake up call, the alarm goes off again in January, and we find ourselves once again peering into a political and possibly an economic abyss in the United States. What will the reaction be in Europe?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, you would have expected perhaps more negative reaction this time around, for example, on the financial markets. But we didn't see a huge sell-off of European stocks in the build-up to this crisis, in the build-up to this final deadline. I think because people here, while they look on with incredulity, they do always expect that at the last minute, the American politicians will get a deal done. And that's what they find so exasperating. And so I suspect that, you know, investors in financial markets and other onlookers will sort of feel again exasperated. Here we go again. But they will again expect that at the last minute, the American politicians will probably come to their senses and do another deal.
Governing by crisis in the United States. Ollie Barrett is FSN's London Bureau Chief. Anya Ardayeva is FSN's Moscow Bureau Chief. And Gary Alfonso is FSN's Johannesburg Bureau Chief. Thanks to you all.